We're back.
Welcome back to Backcountry.
Yeah, it's been a bloody month.
Yeah, wow. A month already.
Apologies for that, but we have lives to live, things to do, and we're being busy little beavers, aren't we?
Aye, busy little beavers, aye.
Yeah. I mean, we've had personal things, we've had, you know, work-related things getting in the way, so, but hey, we're back. Hello.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your summer and been watching some films this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Did you manage to catch anything yourself, Paul?
Well, like we were talking the last podcast, I think the last thing I saw at the cinema was Toy Story 3 when my sister came back from UK.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, she hadn't seen it, so I figured I'd take her along, and she loved it. She had a good cry, so all is good.
I have to confess, it is very emotional at the end, but that is not just a brilliant film, but a brilliant way to tie up the trilogy.
Yep, and I was reading earlier today, mate, Empire Magazine are doing a poll for the greatest trilogies of all time.
Interesting, yeah.
So what do you think, sir? Greatest trilogies? Off the top of your head, what can you think of?
That's a tough one. Well, without...
Well, let's just name some
trilogies. Okay, yeah. Well, the original Star Wars... definitely, I think it has to be up there for me.
And if there's anybody who ever even considers the argument between Lord of the Rings or the original Star Wars, you can go fuck yourself, it's Star Wars all the way.
I agree with you there. If we were talking about literary awards, then Lord of the Rings trilogy, written, you know, by J.R.R. Tolkien, is brilliant. I'm working through it at the moment. But I just don't think the films... They were fun, especially as like a 15-year-old, but... Nah, it's not up there for me, best trilogies. Star Wars, the original, though, is brilliant. Like, inventive, like, creative, amazing.
It's created a new religion. You can actually put down in the UK as your religion, you can actually put down Jedi.
Can you? That's brilliant.
And the thing is like, for me, I can sum up the Lord of the Rings trilogy in one word. Walking. It's just a film about walking. Oh, let's walk to Mordor. Oh, look, the trees are walking towards that wizard man, Saruman. There we go. And then, oh, look, the dwarves are walking and the elves are walking. Oh, and the orcs are walking. Everyone's bloody walking in that film.
Well, I mean, they're not exactly going to be flying unless, you know, the eagles come and help them out.
No, motorcars. It's literally three films that are like 18 bazillion hours long. Like just people walking and talking.
And then they'll have like a massive battle.
Yeah, and an occasional head is split in two.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome when that happens, though. That's what I'm talking about.
You went there, didn't you?
I'm sorry. Couldn't help myself. But there are some better trilogies out there. More recently, if we're going to go action-y, Bourne Trilogy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was...
Matt Damon. I love the Bourne Trilogy, actually. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, from the first, he's an intriguing character with his sort of amnesiac past. But when he walked into that cafe with that German girl, and he's just like, how many people in this place? She's like, oh, I don't know. And he's like...
I know that the guy at the counter uses his left hand. Yeah. He's probably the best place to go for a gun. How does he know that?
Yeah, exactly. And he knows every single license plate number just through walking through the car park. And,
yeah.
It was awesome. And the way they brought it together with the second and third... where instead of him being the one hunted, he flips the tables. He turns the tables, rather.
Well, I thought what was really good about that was straight away in the second film, they're like, here's his main focus for finding out who he is. He's with this girl. He's finally found some peace in his life. And bam, she's dead.
Yeah, assassinating.
Within 5 minutes, bam, she's dead. And you're like, shit, what the fuck? And he didn't go crazy. No, it's like this calm... kind of
calculated,
sinister motherfucker. He's like, I'm gonna rape and pillage everything that moves. I'm gonna put bullets into every face that I can. It's absolute. Oh.
Yeah, from the second one, I like how he, one of the guys breaks into his apartment, or he breaks into someone else's, and he beats a guy up with a rolled up magazine.
Oh, yeah.
That was ace. The guy's got a knife, and he just rolls up this magazine.
Well, that was when he went to that house, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that's a really good action-y one. But of yesteryear, I would say the Die Hard trilogy. I mean, 4 is a more recent addition to that, making it, I suppose, a quadrilogy. But the original Die Hard trilogy is probably one of the most seminal action trilogies, or even trilogies, of the like, sort of 90s, early 2000s? I don't know.
I think it was in the 90s and the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably you're right, well, you know.
Because the Die Hard was...
Die Hard 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was... yeah, definitely an 80s film, I'd say.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, the fashion and the low-grade film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not remember, he gets a chauffeur-driven car to the building where his wife works.
Yeah.
And there's that young black guy who's in the front driving, and he's playing his, he's loving his, like, his hip-hop or his rock or something.
Yeah.
And he asks him to stay in the basement, and he's like, yeah, no problem, man. And he just, like, puts on his music. So, yeah, that immediately dates the film as well. Die Hard 1 is probably my favourite of the trilogy. It's just so well done. And it just introduces you to John McClane, this ordinary cop on the beat who's just like a badass by night. It's like you mess with his family, bam, you're going to get done.
Yeah, and it's was it Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman, yeah, he's the bad guy.
With that dodgy,
deliciously evil with that like slow draw. Yeah.
Oh no, Alan Rickman's a very, very good villain.
Yeah. Well, as he's shown in like the more recent Harry Potters, he's a good Snape. He plays Professor Snape. You're not a Potterhead. You're not a Potter fan, rather.
No, I have no idea about Harry Potter. I read some of the first book and was so bored by it that I was like, nah, I'm not touching it.
You're missing out, pal. Yeah. You're missing out.
Well, people say that the films are really good fun, and you know what? Fuck those people.
No, I just don't think the films live up to the fun of the book, the magic of the book, if you will. But yeah, let's move on to some other trilogies. Well, I suppose Harry Potter. No, they've gone over 3 now, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, like we've mentioned in the past, in the last podcast, Toy Story.
Like I said,
I'll throw that up there as one of my favourite trilogies.
Yeah, quite rightly. And
another big one for me is Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Oh, that's such a classic as well.
Michael J. Fox. You can't help but love that guy. No matter what he's been in, you just want to cuddle him.
And the fact that he's so small as well.
And the fact that he's got Parkinson's now makes you want to cuddle
him.
It's so sad.
Because he was diagnosed at a really early age, in his 30s, I think.
Yeah. It was after he'd done Spin City.
Yeah, that was brilliant as well on
TV.
That
was a great show.
I think it was after that he decided to cut down his acting commitments a lot. He was a massive star. I remember Teen Wolf back in the day.
Those were great.
Yeah, and like it's just a shame that you don't see him on screen anymore. Whereas other actors of his generation, you know, the Charlie Sheens and that, are still making cack films.
And TV,
yeah, Two and a Half Men. Oh, so sick of that.
That's a pallid doctored, isn't it?
Back to the Future, that'll be up there for me, I think. That's a good one.
It's a family film, it's just lots of fun.
Zany characters.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Zemeckis did a really good job as a
he's director, right? That.
Yes, he is. He just pieced it together so well. I mean, you find a gem like Michael J. Fox, and then you put Doc next to him.
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, yeah.
Them two just work so well together.
He is. He's come back, actually, as another crazy scientist in the new Piranhas 3D.
Oh, really?
You know, the one with Kelly Brook. It's basically an excuse for them to get stripped down to a bikini and get eaten up by piranhas. And the teenage boys will eat it up at the cinema, I'm sure.
Or the old pervy men.
Yeah, don't really know which category. I think we're sort of like in between now, aren't we? anyway, moving on. So Back to the Future. That's a good nod.
Sorry, I'm just going to let that one settle in for a second.
Evil Dead.
Oh, Bruce Campbell. Oh, that man is
Sam Raimi. Okay, you can actually credit two trilogies that I can think of. Sam Raimi, Spider-Man.
Which
was cack. Yeah, awful. I mean, Spider-Man 2 I actually really liked, but the first was weak, and the third was awful. Absolutely awful.
Do you know, all I remember from Spider-Man 3 is that emo scene. where he goes.
Oh yeah, 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 and he's got a stupid haircut.
Yeah, and he starts dancing down the street, and I'm like,
yeah, like hey, like, you know, like, clicking his fingers to all the women.
Sam Raimi did that though, right? He wanted out.
Really?
They had him to a contract to make another couple of films, and he wanted out, so he just. The rumor is that he purposely made a shit.
Okay, you know what that reminds me of? William Gallas, when he was playing for Chelsea and he wanted out, and Chelsea refused to release him, even though there's a lot of interest from clubs, and he was quoted as saying by someone, or allegedly saying, if you don't let me go, I'm going to start scoring own goals. And that's essentially what you're telling me about Sam Raimi. And I think that's awful. That's just throwing a strop.
Yeah.
You know, just like, honor your contract, make a film, and then get out. But Spider-Man 3 was awful and ruined for me what was one of the best potential villains of all time, Venom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to be, you know, proper evil guy, and they got that 70s show guy, Topher Grace, to play him. And I thought he was poor.
No idea about that 70s show.
The guy who plays Venom from Spider-Man 3, okay. Yeah. So anyway, the better of the two trilogies Sam Raimi has done, Evil Dead.
Evil Dead was genius. Way ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah, so good. I mean, at a time when B-movies were plentiful and cheaply made and poorly produced horror films as well, he managed to make something that wasn't just a good horror film, but it was hilarious.
that was the whole appeal, because Bruce Campbell was just...
Bruce Campbell is a legend.
Hilarious.
Hasn't he got his own film now that's called something like I Am Bruce Campbell? I've got to find out what that is. We'll get it for you for next episode. But that, yeah, they've done like a parody of his life, or really? It's in honor of him. Yeah, well,
he's got a couple of books out. Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way and Confessions of a B-Movie Actor.
Awesome, of a B-list awesome. Actor. Yeah.
I've read them both.
Really,
the one about the B-list.
How
actor,
does Bruce Campbell make love then?
Well, it's all about him and like how awkward he's always been with relationships and how he's been with the same woman since pretty much high school.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he...
Good testament to
First book talks about how he got into acting and why he enjoys being a B-list actor. Right? And the second one, Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way, is just absolutely hilarious documentations of him trying to date women.
Sweet.
It's really good. You should read them both, actually. They'll make you love The Evil Dead even more, because you can just see that he put so much of himself into the character of Ash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great character.
But, and I mean, how can you go wrong with cheaply made...
Horror
with, like, witches, ghouls, armies...
Haunted trees, yeah, armies of zombies.
Zombies and skeletons. Yeah. And a badass with a fucking powerful chin. A massive chin.
That is one of the strongest chins in cinema.
A shotgun and a bloody chainsaw. A hand.
Yeah, chainsaw for an arm. I remember that. That's Evil Dead 3,
well,
right?
Because in the first one, he chops his hand off. Oh, no. No, the second one.
Yeah,
chops
his
hand off because it gets possessed.
Yeah, like infected. Oh, possessed, yes.
Yeah,
sorry,
it gets possessed. He chops it off and he replaces it with, of all things, a chainsaw. And you're like, Bruce Campbell, I love you.
You legend.
Yeah. You just like, if I met him, I'd just want to put my finger between the fold in his chin and just rub a little and be like,
just want to rub his chin.
I love you, Brucey.
Touch his chin.
But no, it was the perfect blend of horror and comedy.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh.
Raimi struck a good balance with that, and it's a shame he couldn't find that same equilibrium with the Spider-Man series.
But he did find it again, for me, with Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, yeah, you saw that, didn't you, in the cinema?
Yeah.
I read your review for that in HK Magazine, I was really impressed.
It
sounded like a great film.
It really was. I think they did a really good job in the casting. Alison Lohman was...
She played the heroine in that,
yeah,
right?
She was really good in that.
Okay.
They had, if you remember from Inception, the Indian guy. He plays kind of like a voodoo specialist in Drag Me to Hell.
What do they call that? A medium.
Yeah, a medium.
Psychic
there we go.
Medium, yeah.
Yeah, he's in that as well. He does a spot on job there.
He was a good supporting actor in Inception. Yeah, he didn't steal the limelight at all, but he played his character perfectly.
Does it just the same in Drag Me to
Hell?
Understated. So, yeah, Evil Dead...
Yeah, I think that's up there. That's a great one.
It's a fantastic trilogy.
Yeah. You can watch that with your mates, with your girlfriends, family, anything.
It's great to watch with a lass, because they freak out so bad. And you're like, this isn't even scary, it's funny. Look, he's chopping the head off the witch, and she's still rolling around going... And you're crying? What's wrong with you?
Just disturbed.
Yeah.
Godfather's got to get an honourable mention, I think.
Yeah, but I've always had issue with the third one.
Yeah, well, you're not alone there. But the thing is, the first is just so well done, and the second is one of the best films ever made.
It's one of the best sequels ever made.
Yeah,
as well.
Best sequels as well. But for me, what I love about Godfather trilogy is the end of the first, when he gets made the Godfather, and it's... They're cutting between two scenes when he's baptising his nephews.
It's a lot of scenes, actually, because they're baptising his nephew.
Yeah, that's right.
They're killing off all the other members of the mob.
That's right, of the mob. But essentially making him the godfather of the mafia, like that title role. But while he's being his nephew's being baptised, and he's the godfather to that son, the nephew. So really well done, Francis Ford Coppola. Good job on that. But unfortunately, the third does kind of let it down. It's just... it's so weak with the whole subplot with his son and...
Andy Garcia and Sofia Coppola.
Is she in that?
Yeah, she's his... She's his daughter.
In real life, she's his daughter, yeah.
In the film, she's she's the godfather's daughter. She's the one who gets shot on the steps.
Oh, and I'm not spoiling that for anyone,
because you should have seen it. So. No, she gets shot on the steps, but there's kind of like that weird incestuous relationship going on, because Andy Garcia's kind of like a cousin, and you're like,
Well, Andy Garcia's a weird guy anyway, so should we leave it there?
I'd say Godfather is a very good... Like, Godfather 1 and 2 are timeless classics.
Yeah.
But as a trilogy, it doesn't stand up for me. Because your trilogy...
2 out of 3, though, not bad.
Yeah, still, but if you're going to make a decent trilogy, you've got to be consistent.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
Toy Story does that. Back to the Future does that immensely.
Yeah. And the original Star Wars.
Star Wars as well.
So far, they are sort of our good group. We've got a few in the middles. Should we throw in some comedy ones? Austin Powers.
The first one was...
First one was Ace. I remember seeing that and just laughing my guts out. Yeah. It's a James Bond spoof, right? Mike Myers playing loads of characters. He plays Austin Powers, who's a stereotype British man with his, like, awful teeth.
Yeah.
And, like, 1960s, a bit of a womanizer, and he's... It's all about him and his mojo, right?
Yeah.
But then you got some great characters like Fat Bastard.
Well, those are in the later ones.
Are they the later ones?
Yeah, the first one, there was, Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, and then, Seth Green as Scotty.
Oh, his emo son.
Why don't you show me any affection? I'm Dr. Evil.
I just love it in the second one where... Scotty's, I think Dr. Evil's presenting his plans to the board. Like Rob Lowe is the guy with the number two.
Yeah, number
two.
No,
he's number two. Because there's always a number two, isn't there? And everyone, and Scott's just poking holes in his plan. He's like, so we're going to make this massive laser that will blow the earth up. It's like, so basically you're just going to make a Death Star. Because he's gone back to the future. No, they've frozen him.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is, but he knows like everything from the future or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... We'll call it the Alan Parsons Project.
Scott's just like, oh my god. And for those of you who didn't get that joke, the Alan Parsons Project is a band.
Yeah. Big band from like the 70s, 80s.
I will have a guess at birth. So I can be ambiguous and covered both ways. So if anyone emails in, they can
It
was wrong, Paul. Oh, yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, one of my favourite cartoons, also was turned into a film trilogy in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, they had some live-action ones when I was a kid.
Went to see them at the cinema, actually. I remember seeing that on my fourth birthday.
I loved those films.
Yeah, brilliant.
Absolutely loved them.
Even though Shredder looked ridiculous.
It didn't matter. I was in love with April O'Neil. April O'Neil. Sexy reporter.
Probably one of my first crushes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who is the really geeky reporter girl with like the big glasses? I can't even remember. I just remember.
Are you just thinking about, you know, Thelma from Scooby Doo?
It's making me think of that. Yeah. Rush Hour. They made a Rush Hour trilogy. First one was brilliant, I'd say. After that, it went down.
Let's put that in the.
Probably, yeah. Just mentioning them, but no, thank you.
Yeah.
Twilight, I think, is going to have to go into that category as well.
Tweens. I've heard people of an older age trying to defend the Twilight saga, so to speak, and those people are deluded.
So, are you trying to say you're Team Jacob or Team Edward?
What?
You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
That's probably good. Okay.
All I know is it's gay, sparkling vampires. Oh, they don't burn in the thin light, they just sparkle.
I think you're beautiful.
Well, I was reading this article on cracked.com once. If you've ever gone to cracked.com, please do. It's hilarious. That's cracked.com. Yeah, we're giving you a plug there, you arseholes. Basically, what it is...
That just made me think of arsehole plug.
We have to get something gay in every week, don't we? Where was I? Oh, yeah. They've done this article where they'd reviewed all four books... The Twilight Saga.
It's four. Does that mean we're getting another film as well? Yeah. Oh.
Well, there was this one bit that made me cringe, and it made them cringe as well. They've done an artist's interpretation as well, where apparently this one of the vampires gets her pregnant, and what happens is the baby is so powerful or whatever, because she's not a vampire, that the baby when she's giving birth breaks her back or something.
Oh my god!
And like.
Bella!
I don't know, I just remember something really vivid about, like, lots of blood, lots of childbirth, and lots of pain and misery, like, and he had to turn her into a vampire so she didn't, like, break her back, or, like, and they'd done an artist in interpretation, like, with stick figures, of how it would look if, like...
Like XKCD type.
Yeah, like, if she'd given birth without being a vampire and all this, and... It just sounds so gay.
That sounds disgusting as well. But you know what that makes me think of?
What?
Sorry, say what you're going to say. Say what you're
going to say. I'm going to say, I mean, I don't mean gay as in, like, homosexuals are there, or a bunch of fuckers. No, I mean, like, really just... I can't think of the word. Just really, really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, a really horrible premise. Vampires are supposed to be sexual beings.
Yeah.
That are there to take what they want, when they want, even rip up humans if they want to.
Right.
You know, they're sinister characters, and they've kind of turned Twilight, and you know, Twilight's turned all these vampires into the...
It's lame source, man.
Like...
Lame city.
Like the OC. The OC with fangs.
Is essentially, yeah. When you were talking about... the eventual demise of the Twilight series, or that artist impression sketch.
Yeah.
It made me think, actually, of another trilogy, and one that I really liked from the 90s, Blade.
Oh!
Blade was born of a human mother
who
had been bitten by a vampire while she was pregnant.
And she dies in childbirth.
She dies in childbirth. But then he resultantly has qualities of both human and vampire. So he's sort of immune to... Sunlight. So
he's a daywalker.
Daywalker. But he's got the strength of a vampire.
There we go.
And fangs. He has fangs, right?
Yeah.
He can drink blood. He can drink blood.
He has a thirst for it.
He does have a thirst.
And he has that garlic suppressant.
That's right. And who's the guy who's helping him?
He's a country star.
Yes, he is, actually. You know, I own it. Chris Christopherson.
That's the one.
Is the guy who plays him. And when I found out he was a country player, he was one of the Travelling Wilburys.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a really cool film. And the first one...
Stephen Dorff.
Stephen Dorff is a bad guy. Oh, epic, mate, epic.
He was actually really good.
Mm. And it's a shame he hasn't been in more things since. He has been in a couple of films of recent...
He kind of pitted out there.
Yeah.
Kind of lost his appeal.
I think he'll have a comeback. I saw he's playing a father to some girl... like a single father in some film, and that seems to kind of suit him now. I suppose he's more of a mature character, and he can sort of show his acting chops now by taking on these other roles. So the first one was brilliant, arguably the second and third maybe not as good, but it was still awesome to see Blade kicking about, and Wesley Snipes, you know,
yeah.
pre tax evasion jail.
Well, he was a Marvel character.
He was, yeah. Blade.
Created quite a long time ago. The first comic he appeared in, he was fighting Dracula.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, took on the big man.
Yeah, because he plays the role of a vampire hunter, essentially, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And that's his conflict, because he is a vampire.
yeah, moving swiftly onwards, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
There's only been three films.
Yeah, it's only three. It's a trilogy.
The trilogy.
Yes, the 1, 2, and 3.
That's right.
Three Indiana Jones films.
And they're brilliant.
Yes, all three.
A favourite of my childhood, and I've rewatched them recently, and I bleeding love them.
Ah, love them to bits. I even like Short Round. I know a lot of people have issues with Short Round, but I love them to bits.
Who's Short Round?
The little Asian kid.
Oh, yeah.
In Temple of Doom.
Yeah. In the third one. No, second one. Yeah. Oh, there's some awful stereotypes in that. But it was the 80s. Hurrah! one of my favourite like film comedy bits is when I think it's the first one when they're in Egypt or they're digging and they're running through the markets.
It's Holy Grail, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Or the Ark of the Covenant, I can't remember. Ark of the Covenant, first one. And that guy comes in, like, he does his, like, big showy swords thing, and he's like, and Indiana Jones just pulls out his gun, and walks off. Brilliant. Yeah, that's one that will stay with me, I think.
Yeah, Harrison Ford has always had that machismo charm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, going back to the Star Wars trilogy, one of my favourite lines ever in that film is just... When he's going into the what's that metal that they put him in? I should know this.
Carbonite. Freezing in carbonite.
There we go. He's going into
it's not actually a metal, but I'll let that slide.
Well, he's going into the carbonite. Sorry, and Leia says, "I love you." He goes, "I know."
Perfect. What a
response from a bloody man.
And 500 Days of Summer we watched the other day. After he first sleeps with Summer, or kisses her, or whatever, I remember he goes through that fantasy sequence when he's on the way to work, and he's like...
"You make my dreams."
Yeah, and they have that dance sequence. And they even... He's feeling like he's the shit, and he looks at his reflection in a car mirror, and it's Harrison Ford winking back at him.
Yeah.
That was swell. That was swell.
He's in two of possibly the greatest trilogies of all time.
That and... Oh, Indiana Jones and Star Wars, as mentioned. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Moving on, Mission Impossible. I think Mission Impossible 1 is one of the best films, like, made.
One of the best espionage films.
That had me guessing the whole way through. And, oh, so well-crafted. And
didn't that have Eva Green in it?
I'm not sure.
Is it Eva Green?
I'm not sure. She's gorgeous, though, Eva Green.
She's just one of the pantheons of French women.
But basically, it was such a fall from grace for 2 and 3. I think like we profiled John Woo a few episodes back, and yeah, I think he was just having fun with it. He knew it would be very hard to live up to, so he put his own brand of cinema on it, and he just made an action film. Three, I didn't really bring it back to the first for me, but it's just worth an honourable mention. Very quickly, actually,
Three had Philip Seymour Hoffman in it, didn't?
Who is a legend? I love that guy. Anything with that guy. Is immediately better by his presence.
I heard he basically bumped that film up from like a 1 out of 10 to like maybe a 5.
He is such a good actor. Mm. But very quickly, saw recently that John Woo has been awarded a Golden Lion, which is a tribute for a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Venice Film Festival 2010.
Ah.
Yeah. Awarded to him by another legend of Hong Kong cinema, Choi Hawk.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so a little clap to John Woo. Congratulations, mate.
Yeah.
Right, nice.
There's
to
a
see
reason
some
why you're in our wank bank.
Our cinematic wank bank.
Yeah. actually, it wasn't Eva Green who was in Mission Impossible. It was Emmanuel Bart.
Okay, either way, you could spread that on toast and eat it up.
Mm-hmm. French women.
There's actually a few more we could mention. Aliens.
Aliens, yeah, if you count the original trilogy.
That's right. I mean, Aliens 4, there's Aliens 4, which was...
Resurrection.
Enjoyable. Resurrection. Yeah. It was enjoyable. Had some great characters. Ryder. Yeah, and that guy from CSI, the big, tall, black guy who in Blade 4 who has, like, dreadlocks and he's badass.
Oh, right.
He carries the cripple on his back, yeah, remember? Yeah. He was pretty gangster.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable, but...
I liked the first three, though.
Yeah, they were solid.
I think the first two films, again, like The Godfather, they're nigh on untouchable. Because the thing that Alien and Aliens did, which the other two didn't do so much, was they made the alien itself an enigma.
Mm, that's right. Yeah.
Because
subdued.
You hardly ever saw it.
It was like a flash of a tail or something past the camera.
Yeah, you got like one close-up shot like throughout the whole film.
Mm.
And, oh.
That's a good horror film, yeah. Really using suspense.
Rather than going for the shock.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
That's what horror films are suffering for now, is because it's all shock. Mm. It's all, how big a noise can we make at a really serene moment to make people jump out of their seats, rather than actually scaring the living shit
out. Yeah, it's like... It's just gory films. What's that term they use? Like gornography or whatever. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. It's all shock horror now, and it's undermining what a real suspense a horror film should be or should employ.
Yeah, you build up something so that it's so frightening that when you actually do get to see it, you're so terrified of it that it doesn't matter what it does. Just the fact that whatever's killing or scaring or whatever is on screen, you are so terrified by it that you want to look away. Whereas now it's just like, oh, la-di-da-di-da, I'm a girl in the shower.
Yeah. So for anyone out there who wants to go see Piranhas 3D, heed our words.
Yeah. heed our call.
Yeah. One that's not been done yet, but will soon be a trilogy, and I think will stand up there with sort of like the pantheon of greats.
Enlighten me, sir.
Batman.
Oh,
Batman
the
Begins.
Christopher Nolan
Batman.
Yeah.
Batman Begins and last year's The Dark Knight were two epically epicness films. No, they were some epic films, just brilliant. And I think the third one has got a lot to live up to, but I've got every faith that it will.
Well, I mean, he pulled off Inception well enough to make absolute millions.
Yeah, because it was so well done.
Yeah. The only problem I will say, and he needs to address this for the next Batman film, is if he has a female lead, she's got to earn it. She's got to earn that role.
You're not convinced by Maggie Gyllenhaal?
Kelly Holmes was pathetic.
Yeah. Katie.
Yeah, Katie. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, I was thinking about the runner. The British runner.
Oh, yeah.
Katie Holmes. Not, she has one of the worst dialogues in film I've ever heard, ever. Just, there's this scene where they're closing off Gotham. And they're like, oh, nobody's allowed back into the city because of the poison.
Yeah, I remember, sewer
networks. From the Scarecrow. And she walks up to this policeman and he's like, excuse me, ma'am, no one's allowed back over to the other side of the sea.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm the assistant attorney general, doctor, whatever, and you will let me pass. And he's like, oh, okay. And you're like, wow, you just had to whine about being a deputy.
No, I think it's more that the cops just like, look, if this stupid little girl wants to go and throw her life away, why not?
But seriously, though, it was just the way she delivered it. It was as if like she was a 2-year-old.
I see what you
going,
mean. Yeah,
I'm 2 years old. I am allowed chocolate. I hate you. And then Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I thought she was a bit more credible in the role.
She was, but she still pissed me off. I mean, the thing with her, for me, was that she spent the whole film going, oh, I love Batman, oh, I love Herbie, and then the point where she actually decides who she loves, she just gets wiped out, and I was like, well, she's gone for good. Don't have to put up with her, you know, a wishy-washy character, because she was. She was made out to be, like, really, you know, tough and outgoing and...
Yeah, hard-core. Independent woman.
Yeah, and she wasn't. She was wishy-washy, she didn't know what she wanted, and she died for it, so... Ha! That's what he needs to address. If he's going to make this... If he's going to round off his trilogy, he needs to address that.
Okay. That's a fair point. It's a fair point, actually. And it's nice to actually hear a bit of criticism from what otherwise just gets touted as, like, amazing films, which they are.
Oh, well, I'll just... As a final word on that, I think Dark Knight is the best superhero film that has ever been made ever. No, sorry, I'll retract that.
Go ahead.
Best comic book film that has ever been made.
I
ever.
Wholeheartedly agree with that. It's awesome. It's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
Okay, any more trilogies?
Not really too many. I think we've covered most of what's worth mentioning or that we discussed earlier.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah, fair dues. Enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, they're good, fun family films.
Easy to watch, yeah. So, yeah, especially if you've got like little nephews and nieces, sons, yeah, daughters to entertain.
Jack Sparrow is a proper genius.
Yeah.
They've got a film coming out in 2011. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to have Jack Sparrow back again. It's going to have Mr. Keith Richards reprising his role as Daddy. Jeffrey Rush is going
to
be back.
Wicked. Those two good actors. Yeah, well, Keith Richards is fun to have, but Jeffrey Rush, great actor.
Jeffrey Rush back as Barbossa, and they're introducing a new character, Penelope Cruz.
Oh, yes. Penelope Cruz.
Gorgeous. Absolute gorgeous woman.
Yeah, great actress, but also just so easy on the eyes.
Yeah, she is, but she's got so much talent as well. Mm. That's what I love about her. She just isn't a pretty face.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Scarlett Johansson thing. She's got talent.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very evident.
She's gorgeous. So
much passion.
Oh, yeah.
And,
have you ever seen Volver?
No, I haven't. Almodovar?
Yeah, Almodovar, yeah. Beautiful film, you should watch it, mate. Any film that he's done with her in, you should watch it.
Almodovar's a brilliant director.
All About My Mother is...
Yes, that's a brilliant film.
She's beautiful in that, and she plays a pregnant nun.
Yeah, that's right.
I did my dissertation about that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I did Almodovar.
Almodovar, so you must have done as well the one with Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yes, I did.
As the cross-dresser.
Yes.
What's that called?
Brilliant
film.
I can't remember now. He's gay, though. It's all about gay relationships.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, it's really so good, though. It's about two childhood friends.
Yeah.
Who had sort of like a sexual relationship, and then they grow up and they've grown apart, but he finds them again or something like that.
Yeah, and he works for him. Yeah, he did some brilliant films, absolutely brilliant films. But yeah, Penelope Cruz is going to be in the next one.
She's just married Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Lucky dog.
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men, yeah. I mean, he's a solid actor, but he's...
He's a badass.
He is.
He's a man. He is a man.
He's a man's man.
Yeah.
So fair play to him, and he's... I wish him all the best, because they're two lovely people, lovely actors.
I'm sure they're both wonderful people.
Yeah, they come across it, anyway.
Mm. Yeah. And then, in that Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, there will be no Orlando Bloom and no Keira Knightley.
I think it will benefit from it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. I think it'll be good.
Hmm.
So, all right, Tim, your pick for the greatest trilogy for you.
If it's going to have to be for me, I think I'm going to have to go with Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Okay, what? Why?
Why? Because it's just got some of the best... It's got one of the best characters of my childhood in Indy. Indy, you know, as we talked about, he's an adventurer, he's his own man. But
he's an intellect as well.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's a university professor who also is a weekend adventurer. And that's where the Tomb Raider sort of got its most of its inspiration, I'm sure. And they replaced masculine, intellectual, university professor slash adventurer with...
rich, big breasts.
Yeah, 38 double G'd... Lara Croft, a.k.a. Angelina Jolie, which is fine. It was okay. That's another trilogy, actually, we can talk about. Well,
Tomb Raider.
Rather not, but yeah. It was just so brilliant. And the host of like supporting characters that they pulled throughout the three films. You know, we got Sean Connery up there as well.
Mm.
And it's just three films, keep in mind.
Yeah.
It
is three films.
The trilogy.
Yes. The trilogy.
No mention will be made of the film that we do not speak about.
What film?
Good.
I have no idea what you're talking about, yeah. Literally.
And the first one was Ark of the Covenant, which was a brilliant film. Second was Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. And third was The Holy Grail.
No, Last Crusade.
Last Crusade, which was about the Holy Grail, wasn't it?
I thought the first one was Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail. Or is it
Ark? I don't think so. It is Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. It is Ark of the Covenant. And there's some awesome sets, awesome films. I just loved them. And also, because it's so nostalgic for me, it makes me think of my childhood.
Oh, yeah. And the whole time he's kicking Nazi ass.
Yeah, that's the first one, yeah. Exactly. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. I won't agree with you as number one for myself, but that is a great shout. Fantastic shout.
Yeah, I loved it. What about you, Paul, then?
Can I have two?
Go on, then.
Can I have two? Okay, I would have originally gone for Star Wars because I'm a big Star Wars fan. But after thinking about it, I'll have to go, personally for myself, Toy Story and Back to the Future.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I think they're two worthy choices.
Because I've enjoyed them both as kids and as adults. As an adult, you know.
Yeah.
And they're so much fun. They're well written. They're well directed. They make me laugh. The characters that are in both films. I mean, I'm absolutely in love with Woody. You know what really really depresses me is I'm a big Adidas fan.
Yeah.
I love Adidas shoes.
Yeah.
I don't wear anything else.
Really?
No, I really don't. Mm. And they have these Toy Story Adidas shoes. They have one for each character.
No
They've got
way.
Woody ones. And you know his shirt? It's yellow with brown check.
That's right, yeah.
Right? That's their high tops. So the bit around the top is like that. And it's got the stitching at the top with the kind of material that his hat would be.
Really?
And it's got the stitching and everything.
Oh,
and it's got a picture of Woody
yeah.
down at the bottom. And they're so epic. But they only make them in kid sizes.
Oh, no.
Because I'd have bought a pair. I really would have. I'd have bought a pair.
Sick.
Yeah. So Toy Story and then Back to the Future. You can't go wrong with Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. And the suspense in those films as well.
Yeah. Really well crafted. Beautiful. Very clever as well, I think.
And I think, this is going to sound really wrong, but I think, you know, the way that they handle, like, the whole family romance thing is so much better done than Star Wars, because Star Wars, they're like, oh, we're all over each other, we love each other. Oh, we're brother and sister. Oh!
Whereas gross.
They make it really funny in Back to the Future, because the whole time he's like, get off me, you're my mum.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They're just perfect. They're brilliant films. I honestly can't find anything wrong with the Back to the Future films. They're just straight up.
Yeah.
All family fun.
Yeah, brilliant. So well done.
Michael J. Fox, I've got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, he has, man.
But yeah, if you ever get a chance to read it, read his autobiography. It is hounding. It's really sad when he starts talking about his, you know, Parkinson's. And
yeah. From what I've heard, though, it's he's made his peace with it, and he's sort of it's not a depressing read. It's more sort of inspiring to see
uplifting.
Yeah,
and he's been very active as well, not just with Parkinson's disease, but with other debilitating diseases. He's pumped money into charities and everything. That's
good of him.
Lending his face to everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, why not? You know, you're a celebrity.
Sure.
Use it. He's a class act, though.
He is.
Class act. So those would be my picks. And I know a lot of my geeky friends who are listening are going to be like, how could you not say Star Wars? Well, sorry.
No, some great choices, man. All right. So that's our little roundup on trilogies. Some to remember, some to revisit. And maybe think about a trilogy that really meant something to you. Your favourite. Email us in, we'd love to hear it. The address is thisisbackcountryhk@gmail.com.
Okay, so we've rounded up trilogies. I mean, you've picked Indiana Jones, I've got Toy Story and Back to the Future.
Yeah, so a lot of films from our past and ones we've enjoyed from recent years. What about upcoming films?
There's actually quite a lot coming out that will be coming out to Hong Kong, hopefully. A lot that I'm excited about. Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
That looks brilliant. That's the one with Michael Cera, right?
Michael Cera. It's got Jason Schwartzman in it.
Brilliant.
I think it's got Chris Evans in it.
Yeah, that's right. So, what's the premise for Scott Pilgrim?
Scott Pilgrim is a young man who is in love with this girl that he meets.
Aww.
He meets her at some band thing or some concert
gig?
Or something.
Okay, yeah.
And immediately he's like, that's the girl I want. So he goes after her, he starts pursuing her, and eventually gets his girl.
Sweet.
But
But
there's a condition. has to defeat her 7 exes.
So that's his challenge, Scott Pilgrim versus...
Yeah. Basically taking on her evil exes so that he can win her heart.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, I love the tagline for this. It's an epic of epic epicness. I think that's so brilliant. Like,
yeah.
It's so simple, but it just makes you chuckle.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the tone for the film as well. A little tongue-in-cheek, some joking. It'd be good fun.
And it's very pop culture-y as well, because it's based on a comic by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Yeah. Okay, another adaptation then.
Yeah, it's the comic book came out on Onipress, which is, it's kind of like, you know, Marvel or DC. It's one of those companies, but they're a bit more indie.
Oh, okay.
And throughout the comics, they reference, like, computer games, Japan animation.
Anime, so a lot of references. Like that. Yeah.
And they've picked the perfect director to do that, to make it all mesh well.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright. The guy who did Spaced, British TV show.
Brilliant, yeah.
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and the film that will come out that they're going to do after Edgar Wright's.
Oh, I see. That's called the Ice Cream Trilogy.
It's called the Ice Cream Trilogy.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead's the first one, obviously, then Hot Fuzz, and they're going to do one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just about to sneeze. I knew it was coming as
Bless
well.
Bless you.
Thanks. Okay, so Ice Cream Trilogy. Didn't know that.
Ice Cream Trilogy. Basically, because in both films, they stop off for a cornetto, don't they?
That's right, yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Sweet. Edgar Wright's a great director, and he should bring a lot of energy and fun to that film.
I mean, you must have seen Shaun of the Dead.
That's right.
You've seen Hot Fuzz. It very, a lot of whip pans, you know, when the camera just whips to something else. Like, there's a scene, whip, and then you're in another scene. He utilised that in Spaced a lot.
That's right.
2-season British TV show, 6 episodes.
A lot of the same humour is used in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Recurring jokes.
They were paying
homage to everything. Like, if you watch Spaced and if you get the special edition, they have this thing called the homageometer, and it's like subtitles, but for everything that they homage.
That's hilarious.
So if there's like a sound clip that's an homage to something, it'll pop up at the bottom of the screen and tell you, this is a sound clip excerpt from, The King and I.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because they have this scene where the two main characters in space meet, and they play that song, Getting to Know You.
That's right.
From The King and I. So they reference that, and they do that with like Resident Evil, because there's bits, there's an episode where Tim gets high off some cheap speed that he gets from these Scottish guys at the pub, and he gets real angsty, and he's like playing Resident Evil, and he thinks that the zombies are coming to get him and stuff, and they reference Resident Evil the whole time, and that's where they got the inspiration for Shaun of the Dead.
The
best thing about Shaun of the Dead though is they actually got George A. Romero in on it.
Did they?
Well, they talked to him, and they got his input, and there's a couple of DVD extras where you actually see him talking to them and stuff.
Brilliant.
And then, because they did Shaun of the Dead, when he made Land of the Dead, they are in the film as two zombies.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
No way. What, Simon Pegg and Frost?
And Edgar Wright.
Oh, and Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Brilliant. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Really, I'm really looking forward to that.
So, Edgar Wright, you know, he's one of those people that can very easily pick up on pop culture because he grew up in that era.
That's right. I mean, he's only a bit older than us, and it's the kind of Simon Pegg humour that you're used to from those films. Yeah, mm-hmm. His technique should lend a lot to the youthful exuberance of the film. You mentioned Jason Schwartzman as one of the evil bad guys, which is a brilliant stroke of casting because he is so good as playing like a sort of evil genius. I can imagine it.
And he's really awkward as well.
Yeah.
I really like how awkward he can be in certain films like that. Did you ever see The Darjeeling Limited?
Yes, brilliant film. And Rushmore. That's also another Wes Anderson film.
He was in...
brilliant Rushmore.
What's another film he was in? I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then Chris Evans of, like, Fantastic Four. fame. He was the Human Torch.
Yeah. Definitely pull for the ladies.
Yeah. So he'll be some buff ex of hers.
And the men.
And the men, yeah. And and I love how one of her exes, one of the seven, is a lady. Yeah, it's a girl. Yeah.
Well, I just think that the premise is so bizarre and so unique that it's gonna translate well on film. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, sweet. So do you know when that might be coming out in Hong Kong?
I have no idea about Hong Kong.
But it's coming out or is out in the US already, yeah, right?
It was released on 13th of August.
Okay, brilliant. So hopefully it should hit our shores not too long from now.
Yeah, because it's a big film. Big films come to Hong Kong. So another film I'm excited about, which comes out next year, is Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch.
Zack Snyder film.
So 300, right? He did
300 and Watchmen. So okay. He's not an established director. I mean, he's made some successful films in terms of the box office.
Sure.
They're not...
Well, based on that, my expectations are...
Quite low.
Mediocre. Mixed. I enjoyed 300 when it came out. Mm. Watched it at the IMAX, so it was really impressive and awesome.
Yeah.
But having since watched it, you can see...
It's not going to date well, is it? It's not going to age well, I should say.
No, I just think it's a spectacle over anything else. So hopefully he'll get the formula right with Sucker Punch.
Yeah, well, it's about a girl who has a lobotomy from her evil stepfather. Wow. So she gets sent to a mental institution and she creates this fantasy world and then... I don't understand the story quite properly yet. But
yeah.
She tries to escape from this fantasy world with the help of five other mental patients in the hospital.
Okay. And they're all gorgeous young women, aren't they?
They're all gorgeous young women.
I know it's got Vanessa Hudgens.
It's got Jenna Malone.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
She was in Donnie Darko as a love interest. Oh, she is lovely. And I can't wait to see her on screen again because
it's been too long.
But no, she is she's a fantastic actress as well.
And she is.
The posters for it and the trailer make it look really good. It could be a really epic fantasy film.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm looking forward to that one. And there's not a lot of information about it right now because he's trying to keep it under wraps.
Okay. So, I actually prefer walking to cinema knowing less about it. So
yeah, me too.
What else have you got on your radar?
Machete.
Yes, that Robert Rodriguez, right?
Yeah, and it's got that that Latina guy as the cast. You know that guy who's...
Off what?
He was the bartender in Anchorman. When he's at the bar and he's like...
Oh, he's a bit old now. Yeah, he's covered in tats. Yeah, you could imagine him playing...
He was in Desperado.
Like, yeah. You could imagine him playing the leader of a chain gang in a prison or something like that.
Yeah. And he was the knife guy in Desperado.
Oh, okay. That was always throwing knives, right? That's right, yeah.
He was in Heat as well. He was in Heat.
Was he?
With Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, Charlize Theron.
Hey, very quickly.
Tom Sizemore. Yeah.
That's another trilogy. El Mariachi, Desperado, and Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, that was a great trilogy.
It was, yeah.
Plenty of Salma Hayek naked. Always a good thing.
We like to see that here at Backcountry.
Yes, we do. But it was action-packed.
That's right.
And... I like Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, he's a wicked actor, and he actually made his name off Almodovar films.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so it's good to see him back on screen.
Well,
will he be in Machete?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All I know is that Machete is going to be bloody and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be back to that sort of B movie aesthetic, having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
So carrying on. Actually, someone was telling me that Machete was one of the fake trailers in Grindhouse.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So that's a nice little throw-in.
Oh, well, actually, I've got the cast here. Danny Trejo is his name. Danny Trejo.
Yeah,
Robert De Niro. Jessica Alba.
Oh, yes.
Steven Seagal.
Is he still relevant these days?
I don't know. Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay, wicked.
Cheech Marin.
From Cheech and Chong?
Yeah. It's got Lindsay Lohan in it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so... cool. All right, well, looking forward to that.
It's just going to be lots of bloody, choppy action.
Sweet. Yep. What you expect from a Robert Rodriguez film.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else?
Last one. I'm Still Here.
Okay. I've not heard anything about that.
This is a documentary about Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
Joaquin Phoenix was the Oscar-nominated actor for
Walk the Line. Yeah, the
Johnny Cash
biography. Also, he was the Emperor's son who succeeded him in Gladiator, which was
the incestuous one.
Yes, that's right. That's the first time I saw him, and I was very impressed with that performance.
Oh, he was wicked.
Though. I actually thought he had a lisp in real life, and then I saw him in other roles. So he played that role very well.
Well, basically, what happened was he had a meltdown after Walk the Line.
So I hear.
Proper Johnny Cash style. Just, you know, bottomed out. Just started, hit the bottle, hit the drugs.
Yeah, grew a beard.
Yeah, grew a massive beard, went on David Letterman.
That's right.
And gave that odd interview and spent the whole time saying, no, I'm going to be a rapper. And you're like, what are you talking about, Joaquin?
Yeah, and then
the mental.
Weeks later on YouTube, I see footage of him rapping on stage.
Yeah, and he
falls over at one point and everyone just laughs at him. And you feel a bit sorry for him. He's gone off the rails a bit.
Yeah, he has. And this documentary chronicles that. It's like his transition from being...
one of the hottest properties in Hollywood.
Yeah, to suddenly becoming a dropout kind of wannabe rapper.
Yeah, odd, isn't it?
It is odd. And the trailer that I saw looked really intriguing because there was a lot of footage of him, like, beating up photographers and stuff. And,
really?
Like, really nailing the bottle. There's a bit of him where he's just in his underwear and he's wrestling one of his friends with this bottle of whiskey. And
it's crazy.
This sounds
intriguing. Like,
it is.
It's almost like a car crash and you can't quite look away.
The Hong Kong thing. Oh, look. There's a car crash. Get out your camera phone.
No, I was talking more just about the human condition. You know, like, it's a horrible thing to see a car crash, but everyone kind of slows down and it's hard to look away. His life has turned into a bit of a car crash. So.
It has.
Intriguing.
Well, the thing that got me was it's an interesting choice of director. It's Casey Affleck.
Oh, yeah, Ben Affleck's younger brother. Yeah. He's actually a fairly decent actor.
He's spot on, mate. He was really good in Good Will Hunting. He was in Gone Baby Gone, which was directed by Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, that's right. And he was also in The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert something.
Casey Affleck, whatever he's been in, he's done a really good job. He was in the Ocean's films.
He was also in American Pie.
Was he?
He was one of the dude's older brothers who gives him advice on how to pleasure a lady.
Right. I do not remember that at all.
No?
No. Hmm. But good... Good choice, though, because Ben Affleck, his first and only film that he directed was Gone Baby Gone,
right.
And it got massive reception from
that's
all the
Ben
critics.
Affleck, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's obviously in the family.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Because this film, this documentary, it looks like it's going to be pretty awesome.
Nice, sweet. Yeah, very, very intrigued to see that.
Yeah, because I'd like to see an actor at the worst.
It's always fun to see
people of privilege.
Yeah, sort of like crashing down from their high horses. But I don't know. It should be interesting anyway. Yeah. Oh, it does sound good. All right. Do you know when that's coming out?
Well, it's coming out in Australia on the 16th of September, so we should follow shortly, I guess.
Brilliant. Okay.
I don't think it'll be released here.
Just look for it on the DVD shelves in a month or two.
Mm.
Okay. I wanted to just quickly mention, I'd watched, technically not films, but the BBC One has been doing a series very recently called Sherlock.
Ah.
And they're hour and a half long episodes, there's just three of them, and they essentially follow the mythology put down in the books by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Oh, cool.
Big following already, like literary. But they've done like a modern reboot.
Okay.
So it's sort of followed the style of, you know, the Guy Ritchie film recently.
Rock and Roller.
No, Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law.
Yeah.
They've tried to give it a bit of humour using modern cinematic techniques to lend to, you know, his process of deduction. Yeah. Well, in this, Sherlock, played brilliantly by a fairly unknown British actor, Benedict Cumberbatch.
No idea who that is.
He plays a very arrogant, you know, hyper-intelligent consultant to the police. The police turn to him when they have no idea how to deal with something. And Dr. Watson is played by an Afghanistan army vet who's an army doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, so they sort of meet by coincidence through a mutual friend and end up living together at 212B Baker Street, which is the same place as the books, which is quite nice. There's a lot of little homages like that.
Okay, cool.
It's just a really good modern reboot. There's loads of humour. And it's brilliant. It's like a blend of sort of like House and CSI in terms of like how they solve problems.
Okay.
If you've ever seen CSI, you know it's a clever montage of sequences.
I've seen CSI, but not House.
House is the one with what's that British actor? Hugh Laurie.
I've never seen
Hugh Laurie, who plays like an American doctor who walks with a cripple. Mm. Again, highly intelligent, very sarcastic and bitter. Sherlock is like the embodiment of both in the best ways.
Okay.
Yeah, Martin Freeman from The Office and several other things. I'm sure he's trying to break away from that label of being Tim from The Office, but that's who he is. He plays Dr. Watson. And they've got some brilliant bad guys. Moriarty makes an appearance again, who's the arch nemesis in the books. They've just done three, but they've commissioned another series, but that won't come out till autumn 2012.
Yeah. Okay.
So check out these where you get a chance. They're well worth watching.
Yeah, and like I said, all the movies I mentioned before, I'm excited about those as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess we should wrap this up, sir.
That's right. If you haven't already checked out the Facebook page, have a look. We are This Is Backcountry HK.
Yep. You can find us there. We're always linking on our Facebooks as well, so
yep. You
can catch us there. We're on Twitter. This is Backcountry, because they won't let us have the HK. And you can email us at thisisbackcountryhk@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you've got any questions or queries or even criticisms of our best and worst trilogies this week,
yeah,
we'd love to hear them.
And if there's any we've missed, email them in.
Of course.
And, we're back.
Okay, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time in Backcountry.
Yeah, take care.